Tim Figge is here.
Well, we don't care. He was on a TV station in the cities, but the issue that he has is a really good one.
Literally for the last 3 weeks, I've been trying to get a fully functional forced air furnace.
That's what the show is going to be about. I think this is such a public service that you're doing that all people, we're going to play this a lot of times within a 19-minute period. People need to hear your story because, for gosh sake, you could have been history.
Not only that, it hit me in exactly the same way. I wasn't trying to out anybody. I wasn't trying to leverage. I was trying to go, oh my goodness, 3,000 days my family has been under the same roof as this furnace, and literally God only knows what could have happened. We bought land over 30 years ago and built a home just south of Hastings off of 316, and basically have had two furnaces in that 30 plus years. The one was warrantied for 20 years, and pretty much I prayed it through one winter. It was just creaking and groaning, and we replaced it about 10 years ago with another product, and we were going to get our furnace tuned up.
Now, what kind of furnace is it? Let's say the brand name of it.
You know, I just assume not, because okay, I think there's more clout in this. And this just literally is a public service announcement. The bigger issue here, Dan, I think, is the lack of public awareness on the number of class action suits there are against a thing called the secondary heat exchanger. CenterPoint has a Home Service Plus.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's a little pricey, but I thought, you know, the house is 30 years old. What the heck? I scheduled them, and they came out furnace tune-up on my 10-year-old furnace.
So now you're having it checked up, which is a wise thing to do.
Absolutely.
This time of year. No, and you know, and I have smoke detectors in all the bedrooms, and I have a CO monitor. You know, I've got more than enough fire extinguishers. I think I'm doing pretty good. So the guy opens it up, takes it apart, and he says, you need these parts. And I said, fine. So the next day they show up, and the next day they put them in, and he fires it up and does the analytics on it, and he shuts it down right then and there. And I go, what's going on? He goes, your carbon monoxide reading is at 300%. It was literally three times. Yeah.
Why did your CO monitors not go off?
Okay, now, basically, as I understand it, that kind of combustion produces that product normally. So it's self-contained within the unit. Before it gets into the atmosphere, into the rest of your house, it's supposed to contain that. Even with my CO monitor literally just six steps away, it didn't go off. So for whatever reason, it stayed self-contained, but you just don't want to be burning stuff three times the rate that is specified. So he shut it down. And when they shut it down, they're not messing around. They put a red tag on it, which, you know, kind of gets your attention. He disconnected the gas. He says, I am not even going to let you be tempted. So he took it down and turned off the gas and put a big sticker on it that says you can't use it. So he shut it down and he said, here's the deal. Now you get into the gray area between maintenance and who put it in and warranties and all that kind of stuff. Basically, from my reading, this particular brand of furnace had, it was called the secondary heat exchanger, and they break. And they
crack?
Crack. Okay. Yeah, and they have a notorious history. This is not new news to the industry.
So are those the parts that he initially put in?
No, the parts he put in were just to kind of get it up and running again. All I know is my furnace is not working. My gas is shut off. CenterPoint doesn't have any more to do with me at this point because we're way beyond just, you know, showing up and tuning up. And so at 300%, you have my attention. Then you go, did I do something wrong? Haven't I maintained it? This is not an anomaly that it happens more often than not. 300%, God forbid this would go off in January, you'd freeze to death before they could get it fixed, or your pipes would. The thing was, is furnace tune-up is a good idea, and the plot thickened.
Well, real quickly, before we move on here, I was always under the impression that if you had these warranties like CenterPoint, and there's others out there, so apparently it's just the minor things that they replace, because I thought you're buying a warranty for a furnace. If the furnace is really bad and can't be replaced, I thought they replaced it as a part. But it's only certain parts, maybe not the heat exchanger.
Well, and this is part of the PSA that I would say. Warranty might be a little too much of a term to use in conjunction with maintenance, because they're going to maintain on your Home Service Plus if your dishwasher goes out. This is a little bit, this is an add-on. There comes to a point where it's more than anybody bargained on, which therefore means more money, period.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't you just replace the heat exchanger, or does the whole furnace have to be replaced?
Well, that's where the golden rule takes place, Dan.
Okay.
My research had shown that this particular brand had had 20 years of class action suits against it. 20 years for that same problem. And so those class action suits stopped at the end of 08. My furnace was manufactured in the fall of 09 and installed that same fall. So technically, I was like 9 months out of quote-unquote warranty with a history of bad parts. And that's not unusual to not only to that product, but another one that we could name names on, and a third one. So this sort of thing, a lot of it was involved with the block, I guess.
Right. Yep.
And so the industry knows this stuff, but the industry isn't really like telling you that.
So when you say the industry, are you talking about the manufacturers?
Yes.
So the people that installed your furnace, they installed it in good faith.
I don't know, Mo. I don't know, but I don't know how you could be peddling a product and not know about it. And then if
class action lawsuits, I mean,
yeah,
that's
pretty that's not something lightly taken.
No.
And the thing is, on my ductwork is the installer's decal, whatever, and they've autographed that thing. This is an autographed tag. You know, they've been there a lot. No one had ever said this to me. And then what really compounded it is I've been around residential housing for most of my adult life. It's never, ever come up in any kind of discussion.
Because you're an appraiser.
Correct.
So when you go in and look at houses now as an appraiser, do you factor that in? Is that something that you've started to look at?
See, and this is really, that's a very, very good question. The reason I say that is I'm not a home inspector. I'm an appraiser. Right.
So
and the difference is a home, like say you're going to buy a house. A home inspector would go in and break down that furnace and check on that stuff. As an appraiser, I have to take a reasonable assumption that it's working, that there's no reason these people would be here if you didn't have heat. But I'm not an expert on it, but I'll tell you one thing. If a customer or a realtor tells me they have a brand new furnace, that's going to get my ear real quickly now. Because in the past, you know, you can tell a newer furnace, they tend to be 90% or better, and they're vented with PVC pipe, the white pipe. It's really classically distinctive. But operationally, I don't ask them for their last inspection. I mean, nobody does that. And so I guess what I would say is that I am going to take a much more nuanced look at both the furnace and the AC now, because if you went to my house now and took a picture of that label, you wouldn't think it was 10 years old. I mean, what kind of wear and tear does it have?
Of course.
It doesn't. And it looks kind of like it came out of the box. But it's just a thing you should ask more questions about.
So how does this go? So now you know you have to replace the whole furnace, basically.
No. Here's
just
what happened.
The heat? Okay.
Here's what happened. So here's the golden rule. And I talked to the owner of the company that installed it. I said, you know what the golden rule is? And I'm not talking about something Jesus had to say. I'm talking about what's going on in the world today. And she goes, no. I said, those that have the gold rule.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let me get this straight now.
Doesn't the manufacturer have some responsibility in this, knowing they've had a lot of trouble?
You know, Dan, in your perfect world, yes.
Trust me, my world isn't perfect.
Okay, but the thing is that I don't know of a post-2008 class action suit. So I basically got no leg to stand on.
Right.
Okay? So I said to the person, here's how I'm interpreting this. The part is free, but I can't get it. You can get it, but I can't get it. So now, therefore, you have the part, and you have the expertise to put this in. You have the gold. I got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was trying to avoid was a question, what do you want to do? Because then if we get into a what do you want to do, we're going to get into a he said, she said, and there's going to be resistance and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So the part you can get replaced for free, but
you have to put it in.
Who's going to have to pay to put it in?
Take a shot at how much an hour they were going to charge me.
$200?
Oh, it would be lightweight. Go ahead.
Wow.
No clue. I really...
$400 an hour.
Are you kidding me?
Daniel, I have never lied to you.
Wow. $400 an hour.
That's robbery.
Well, I said to him, I said, my mechanic gets less than that, and he's got moving parts. So we're kind of at a standoff. And then they came back the next day and reduced it. Okay? So what are you going to do? I mean, it's getting colder. By this time, we were approaching a week without heat. If we had pictures on the radio, I'd show you the empty carcass of my furnace. You know, you can't argue. I mean, you can't go, this isn't fair. You know, I'm going to get my attorney.
Right. They hold the gold.
You know, they got the gold. So I said to her, I said, let's just go ahead and schedule the installer guy. And he was there far less than 3 hours. And at the end of the little deal, you know how somebody gives you a tablet and you sign it, you know, kind of like you're renting a car or something? There's nothing more there. You don't get the whole 9 yards. So I left it with this. I said, here's what I'd like you to do. I said, you've got the gold. You rule. Let your conscience be your guide. And I signed off on it. And I went in later and looked at my email. And there was this big bill at the top. And there was a 3 zeros at the bottom. So the conscience won out.
That is the golden rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unto others, yeah.
Yeah, so that was...
And he who has the gold makes the
rules. Well, right, but I like that you're...
Well, see, I like the give and take here, because that's... If I would have said, I am a PR nightmare to you people. I said, if I start naming names, this is not a good thing. I don't want to do that. I just want to be treated fairly. And the fact that you've got 3 decades of bad product, I'd love a jury of my peers for that one, because nobody wants to buy 30
years. And the fact that
the...
they know it's bad because they're giving it to you for no cost.
Right.
Right.
But they're gouging you on the installation.
Well, but let's take this a step further than just a PSA, because I think there's a lot of people that might be listening, and mm-hmm. this story could make them very nervous.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure.
So how do those folks go about finding out if their furnace is suspect in some way?
Well, probably because they're no more knowledgeable than I was. You have the old Latin phrase, caveat emptor, to the buyer beware. I would really look into getting a service checkup. Now, with the Medicare ads and the furnace ads, it seems to me that checkups are between thrifty at 50 and maybe a bump over 100. The problem with that is, and this is the caveat emptor, is that now they've got the guts of your machine open up, and now they find something. Now they have the first right of refusal to fix it. You know, it's not like you're going to get a second opinion. So I guess I would really, and I really would encourage people with care of older people to really check out what a furnace tune-up consists of and what the obligations of them are to disclose everything. Because I would have loved to have known 10 years ago that furnace that was installed had a secondary heat exchanger issue that went back to the first Bush administration.
Can you, Tim, go online? Mm-hmm. Let's just say I wanted to go home now. Mm-hmm. Take the model number of my furnace and put it in the internet. Can I find out if my furnace has a history of that and then proceed?
I'll tell you what, Dan. I don't know of anything that I've tried to Google over the years that I haven't found one way or the other. You know?
But I mean, would that be something?
I would not have known about the class action suits had I not done that very thing.
Okay.
And so the specific model, and obviously a big deal, and quite frankly, the legalese that gets into some of this stuff is just sad. So I would, number one, look into and go forward with some kind of tune-up before they show up at the door. Have them clearly define their terms and what they're going to do and what they're responsible for. And I'd also, before they show up, go online and see what, you know, there's just a plethora of different brand names out there. And the funny thing is, there have been so many mergers that whereas one name means a lot here, it could be exactly the same furnace in a different branding. So really, I would really do due diligence so you don't get screwed, basically. Because mm-hmm. literally, it's been 3 weeks and I still haven't had the final inspection done. They came out, they couldn't finish it, so the installer put the parts in, but trying to get center point to come back, it's kind of like, I don't know where I am, but I know I still have another week to go before they'll finish the job. So it'll been a full month, strong week without a furnace.
Mm-hmm. So here's what they're saying in this lawsuit. They're claiming that the polypropylene laminated steel
that's
used in secondary heat exchangers in the furnace degrades and it integrates due to the high temperatures of the furnace, which lead to premature corrosion of the actual pipe. So,
see, we went to the smartest girl in the room.
No,
she Googled it.
The Google machine. Yeah.
So,
let me follow up on that. So, without even asking, the person that was servicing the machine broke it down, and we looked at the secondary heat exchanger, and we saw that it was problematic. The problem we didn't want to run into, and this is literally the slippery slope, is that If it wasn't the secondary, it would have been the primary, and nobody covered the primary, and it's a fortune. So now it's going to be a decision of, do you put in this replacement part that maybe even not need to, or do you flat out have to buy a new furnace, right? Pretty much there on the spot.
Well, thank you for drawing attention to this.
You're welcome.
Very important topic.
So, first of all, Google your furnace, the model number and stuff.
I would,
and
yeah.
Then call, and for sure, call and just have it checked, because they can check the CO, and they can see if you're a heat exchanger, because I've had that done before,
yeah.
And see if it's good or if it's safe. And for gosh sakes, thank goodness the good Lord was shining on you and your family, because had you not, you may not have woken up some morning.
Well, I think...
Wow.
Living in the same area as you and I...
Yeah, we're not that far apart, yeah.
If you remember last winter when there was all this trouble with gas supply north of the cities and the public utility had to put people up in motels, do you remember that part?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we had a really deep dip, and we were well below 25 below. The transmission box on 316 went down really early in the morning. And so we lost heat well before sunrise one morning. And to Dakota Electric's credit, they had that thing up and running before sunrise. But even with a well-insulated attic, good windows and good insulation
right.
in the walls, you could feel it getting cold. And so, thank God it happened in a transitional season and not in the bitterest winters. And so that's why, no matter what you think, at least look into it for your safety's sake.
Now in the fall. Do it now in the fall when you still can
whether or not, whatever, at least go out and buy a decent carbon monoxide detector.
It's concerning to me, though, that yours was not registering anything abnormal.
It's kind of like a nuclear meltdown.
Okay.
The containment field, it wasn't out into the atmosphere yet, at least according to how it was explained
sure.
to me. And believe me, if I'm wrong, I'll take my correction like a good guy, because I'm just trying to say, no matter what, how you do it, to the average customer, the consumer, 300% of CO is not a good thing.
No, absolutely not. Mm-mm. Well, we want to thank you for coming in today,
yeah,
Tim.
Wow.
Thank you. Tim Figge.
You're welcome.
And boy, you shed a lot of light on many topics. We're grateful for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you.